Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host with the most, Nikki Kourula. Eddie Pence is still out of town. He's had a long vacation. He's been doing shows, though, too, so it's been good. But we're going to jump right into this wonderful interview. We have tap dancing phenomenon Sarah Reich.
Nice to be
Did
here.
Did I say it right?
Reich.
Reich! Damn it! Sarah Reich.
It's all good.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for having me.
I said it right off the air, and then I got it wrong. Sarah Reich. So, let's just jump right in. Like, when did you start tap dancing?
So, I started tap dancing when I was 5 years old.
Wow. How did you know you even wanted to do that?
I didn't want to do it. It was something my parents made me do. They put me into dance class as well as piano lessons. And I took tap, ballet, and jazz like a normal young girl does. And it wasn't until we moved around to various dance studios in Los Angeles that I found the right teacher, and his name was Paul Kennedy, and he was the one where I fell in love.
What resonated with having him teach you?
Well, first of all, he was actually very well credited as being one of the greatest tap dance teachers of all time, and he was particularly good at seeing something in his students and finding that special spark, whether we knew it or not. So at 10 years old, I was studying with him, and after class, he'd say, "Sarah, you're going to be a star."
Wow.
And I was like, you know, it wasn't even a thought in my mind to even pursue it as a career. Or, you know, so I was just like, oh, haha, thanks. And that was it. But he did pass away a couple years after that. But since then, I've had also even many more teachers and mentors who have inspired me so much to pursue a career in it.
And you know what? We have a common bond.
Yes.
Because Zane Musa was in my band for years. And you studied and performed, or you did perform with Chance, his brother, right?
Yeah, his brother was one of my teachers. And we performed together here and there. I met him when I was about 10 or 11 years old at a jazz jam.
Did you tap with Zane too?
When Zane was playing saxophone.
Okay,
not when, so not when Zane was tapped
in. Because they used to tap together when he was a kid.
Right. But I did tap with Zane on saxophone, and that was always an amazing experience because he was a tap dancer.
Right.
And so he knew how to play along with tap dancers and how to be open and also how to listen and how to challenge a tap dancer. The best musician I've ever played with.
Yeah, man. You know, like he was, I always knew, like, you know, he used to play these rhythmic lines just on a single note. And I used to talk to him about it. I'd be like, you know, how are you playing? How are you hearing that? It's just so beyond what a lot of players are doing. He's like, man, I used to tap dance when I was a kid.
Boom.
So he'd just sit on that rhythm, and it was one of my favorite things about hearing him play. He was a very rhythmic player. He could play solos all day long and the craziest licks, but when you can use rhythm as a way of soloing, it just sets you apart from the rest.
I highly agree. And, you know, tap dancing grew up with jazz. The golden age of, you know, the swing era where tap dancing was extremely popular. Every big band had a tap dancer. Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Jimmy Lunsford, all of them had a tap dance act in the band. And I've heard many stories of great musicians being inspired by tap dancers. And I feel that that connection has been a little bit lost, you know, since that time. Since tap dance shifted and, you know, if we go back to the history of it, in the 50s, you know, rock and roll was coming in and tap dancing wasn't really done to rock and roll and
it's too loud. It's too loud.
Yeah, and the nightclubs were kind of shutting down, so a lot of those great tap dance artists kind of hung up their shoes and had to get work and other things. So the connection kind of has been lost since then, but I feel that so many musicians could benefit from studying tap dancers.
Right.
Studying the rhythms that we play when we dance.
Did you ever see that? I'm sure you saw the movie Tap.
Of course, I have it like memorized.
That movie is unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
It's actually one of my favorite movies. And you see all the greats, Gregory Hines, Sammy Davis, mm-hmm. all the greats just like kind of tapping off each other. And
that's right.
Competing with each other. So, you know, what's cool is like you don't see a lot of female tap dancers. Mm. So I've seen a lot of your videos and stuff, and you're doing some cool stuff. But how did you know you were like, I'm going to make my mark doing this?
Well, it's a passion of mine. And like I mentioned before, a lot of my teachers had an influence on that passion because I didn't know that someone could be so passionate about tap dance, care so much about the history of it, until I started really going to tap festivals as a teenager. And these tap festivals happen all over the country and now all over the world. There's way more now than when I was growing up. But at these festivals, you get to study with some of the best in tap dance. You also get to study with the legends who are still alive when I was growing up. A lot of them are passing on now. But I was very fortunate to study with Jimmy Slide and Brownie and my mentor, Harold Cromer, Arthur Duncan, Leonard Reed, Prince Spencer of the Four Step Brothers, like these legendary guys. And I've found through those festivals that there is much more to this art form than just the act of tap dancing. It really has become like a religion to me. And something very important to my heart and soul to keep the art form alive and pushing and innovating while preserving the legacy of it.
Well, you're definitely doing that. I mean,
thank you.
Now you've been performing at Walt Disney Hall and Sydney Opera House, and you've been collaborating with jazz musicians and Postmodern Jukebox.
Right.
I've seen some videos with all that stuff that you've done. And it's just like really, you're taking tap to a totally new era and dimension because, you know, it's very rare that a lot of tap dancers would be able to just be uploaded on the internet and have a fan base just sitting in their homes.
It's amazing.
And bringing that to them, you know what I mean? So you're kind of in this cool wave of technology that you can bring tap to so many generations without you even knowing.
It's a blessing for sure. For, you know, with Postmodern Jukebox in particular, they've got 3 million subscribers on YouTube. So I do a video with them, and boom, it instantly shoots out to 3 million people around the world.
That's incredible.
I know. And then I've done 7 tours with them all over the world. And even just to get to expose an audience to tap dancing, most of the people in the audience are seeing it live for the first time.
Wow.
Live for the first time ever.
That's wild.
Some of them for the first time ever didn't even know it existed.
And you did a video with Wayne Brady with him doing Thriller,
we
right?
Did Thriller.
Tell me how that came about.
It was Halloween. Or it was gearing up toward Halloween, and Scott Bradley calls and says, hey, we're going to do Thriller with Wayne Brady.
and you're like, okay, this sounds exciting.
Sounds great. But,
was he a good tap dancer? Did he tap at all?
He doesn't tap in the video. He just sings, right? Yeah.
But he does have a tap background, doesn't he?
He might have a tap background.
Oh,
I wouldn't be surprised if Wayne Brady had a tap background.
Yeah, I heard he's got some dance background anyways. So you did all these tap festivals. Were you in like high school when you were doing all these?
Yeah.
When you were attending all these?
Yeah, even younger. But the prime time was in my high school age, where I also just kind of connected with my generation of tap dancers and realizing, oh, there's other tap nerds from Chicago or from St. Louis or from New York. And I'm like, oh, this is great. And now we're all teaching at these festivals. I just got back from Dallas. I was teaching at a tap festival there. And again, like some of my colleagues that we grew up together were on the faculty, and we're teaching this next generation of killer tap dancers that are way better than we were at their age.
Wow.
So like the level is getting better, even
Is that because
younger.
The instruction is now kind of effervescent, or it's like...
Yeah, there's more opportunities to learn. There's more exposure to it, you know?
But the interest is there now.
And the interest is very much there. I just want to see them really have amazing opportunities by the time that they're in college or, you know, are out of college to have good gigs, good work. Because, you know, to call yourself a tap dancer and say that I'm a full-time tap dancer really means I'm a full-time entrepreneur.
Right.
Hustling every day to get myself these jobs because, you know, tap dance still is a bit underground, you know, so people aren't always thinking about it or thinking, oh, we should have a tap dancer until they see it. And they enjoy it, then they say, this is awesome. Yeah. We need to have this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of exposure.
And so do you usually prefer to perform with a live jazz band because you can play mm-hmm. off of them?
Absolutely. Hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely. Improvisation is huge in tap dancing. And then, of course, the jazz connection is huge. And I love to collaborate with musicians. I just released an album of all original music that I've been working on the past 5 years.
And are you tapping on it too?
I'm tapping on
it. Oh, that's crazy.
So it's a tap album. You're listening to it, and you're listening to the percussion of tap.
That's awesome.
You know, versus it being the word tap, dance, the dance being such much a stronger word, I find that people don't even think of it to be music or musical in any way. So I'm like, look, I'm not even going to do the dance.
That's awesome.
Listen to it. Just listen to it.
Well, before we get into that, when you choreograph stuff, are you thinking rhythm as far as how you hear it, how you feel it, or how you see it, or a little bit of a combination of all of them?
It's a combination of all of them because in order to say if I have something already choreographed and I want to move on, it's going to be where's my weight placement? What would feel good? Should I move? Do I want to do a turn? So sometimes the dance element will lead the rhythm, or I'll say, I hear a diggity-doo-doo-doo-bah. So whatever dance move I need to hit that rhythm, I'll do it. You know, but it all happens instantly.
That's amazing. That is just amazing. All right, let's play something. What do you want to play first?
Well, let's play New Change, the title track.
New Change. Yeah. Okay, hold on just a second. Let me see if I can find this here.
New Change features Brandon Brown on bass. Do you know Brandon Brown?
No. Are these all LA cats?
They're all LA cats. On the album, there's some LA cats. I got Danny Janklow on sax, Mike Catone, trumpet, Alex Bonham on bass, Jonathan Pinson on drums. We also have Aaron McClendon on drums on some of the tracks. Sam Barsh on keys.
All right. Tell me the name of this track one more time.
New Change, the title.
New
track.
Okay, here it is. New Change, Sarah Reich. Sarah Reich.
Thank you.
sneak a peek. Sorry. That's the problem with YouTube. It just goes to the next. Anyways, dude, that was slamming.
Thank you.
So did you work all that stuff out with the band?
Yes.
So were you like, okay, this is what I want to do with my solo. This is what I want to do.
Right. Like, and I taught that. So, for example, that tap and bass section, I had already choreographed / composed that rhythmic piece. And so I taught it to Brandon Brown, the electric bassist, just by scatting it to him.
Wow.
And, well, he's brilliant, so he got it on his own, like, so fast.
I loved it that you were, like, both doubling it, you know?
Yeah.
Just, like, that made it so unique.
Yeah.
Because usually it's just, like, all improvised, and it's cool that you're
right.
playing stuff
so that's,
together.
Like, a written segment. There's much more improvisation in other tracks, but, yeah, that's how a lot of the songs were written, also, were stemming from tap rhythms and then transcribed into jazz melodies via me scatting to a musician
wow.
on how I hear the rhythm.
So what do you bring, like a hardwood floor? Like?
Yeah, I'll bring them, or I'll bring them to a more like a dance studio.
And how big is it?
What?
The
my
hardwood
board?
Floor? Yeah.
Oh, it depends, 2x4, 3x4, 4x4, 8x4.
Does it limit you based on the size? Like, or is it just
yeah,
kind of
it does. I mean, like, you know, with Postmodern Jukebox, when I toured with them, I had a board, a 3x4, and, you know, I have to be stuck in my space. But that's totally fine because I can still do a lot there.
Right.
The bigger stage, the better, the more I can explore and do more things. But when it comes to recording audio, it has to be a tighter space. So
right,
I use that
the mic
smaller
has to
board.
Catch it.
We need all the mics. I had 8 mics on me.
Wow.
I recorded at Bell Sound Studios.
Yeah.
You know Ty?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ty Long Lee. He came through with the engineering.
I got to ask you this too because I think it's so cool. What made you want to do an album?
Man, I've been wanting to do an album ever since high school. Well, the idea of it sparked my interest in high school because I was listening to a lot of Tito Puente.
Yeah.
And I love Tito, and I love all those horn lines. And I thought then, I said, I know these horn lines because I hear that in my head when I tap dance. And I just wish I would have stuck with piano lessons so I could actually, you know, write music. But
yeah.
Oh, well, I guess that'll never happen. And then fast forward to a few years later when I was really going out to jazz jams and collaborating with friends or just jamming. And I thought, you know, maybe I can get this done in a more collaborative way. And I can just kind of translate my ideas and see if that works. And
yeah.
that worked. And so when I had my first song done, Gemini Vibe, I was so excited. And then It's Tappening. And then
It's Tappening. That's
yeah,
a clever
I mean,
name. I love good titles.
It's a fun one, too. And so, you know, again, it's been a 5-year process since the first song was written. But, you know, so things have taken time to, you know, get the material done. But I got it done.
That's amazing.
And I'm really excited
Especially
about it.
Especially to do it in an art form that you're not used to doing it in. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like you're doing tap, but it's like a whole new instrument.
Right.
Because you're using a band to like compose music.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's amazing that you took that on.
Thank you.
High five.
Hey.
All right.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. I want to play something else.
I think it's exciting.
Let's play something else because this is just happening.
You want to play Respect the Dance?
Respect the Dance. And talk. We got some mutual friends on this. So
we've
talk
got
about
some
that.
Mutual friends we were just talking about. Maya Sykes. I co-wrote this with Maya Sykes, the great singer out here in L.A.
She's been on our show before.
Yeah.
We love her.
Yeah. And we tour together with Postmodern Jukebox as well. So on tour, I was like, let's write something together. And I've never collaborated with a lyricist, you know. So she's like, well, what do you want to write about? And I said, well, there's a common phrase in tap dancing that we say, respect the dance. And like I was mentioning to you earlier how, like, traveling at these tap festivals, I would always hear that phrase and kind of understand what it means to be a tap dancer and to honor the legends and the master tap dancers while also teaching the youth how to keep that alive.
Right.
So I was like, let's write about that. So we wrote Respect the Dance, and you'll hear all about it. And in the song, we shout out legendary tap dancers' names.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like
so it's fun.
Paying
so,
homage.
Oh, yeah.
Homage.
So if you sing along, you'll be singing names of great tap dancers. So my hope is that people Google them.
And you got the Regimen horns on here,
and
too.
And I got the Regimen horns, which I just have always loved them since the Libertine days.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to the Libertine
gym? Yeah, of course. Those guys are epic. I've known them for about maybe 10, 15 years now. No, maybe
well,
about
yeah.
12 years.
Yeah, same here.
So they've been playing on my records for the last couple years, and they're just amazing. They're
for
just
those out there who don't know, they're Justin Timberlake's horn section.
Hey, they were my horn section first, all right? And they're
yeah.
probably yours before me, too.
Well, just gunning for this, but they're the best. But what's funny about this is I already recorded the rhythm section, and I needed horns, and right. I needed regiment. But they were in Jersey prepping for the Super Bowl with Justin. Wow. But they're like, "Don't worry, we'll just use the studio, and we'll record it for you."
That's awesome.
You guys are the best.
They are the best. Yeah. All right, this is Respect the Dance by Sarah Reich. Did I say that right?
You did this time.
Sarah Reich, okay.
Respect the dance. Respect the music. Honor your elders. Teach your children how to use. Dance, the light that comes through it. It takes love, real love, just to do it. From the hoofers to the copacetics, we've come a long, long way. Bebop down to straight ahead, man. Music just had to change. Learn all your history, it's for everyone to see. Without the Nicholas Brothers, there would be no bravery. Respect the dance. Briggs, Chuck Green, and Steve Condos. Max Roach, Clifford Brown, and what about Ella Fitzgerald?
Soulful.
Yeah.
Man.
We got Gordon Campbell on drums on that one, too.
But the horns, though. Oh, the horns. And Maya. Oh, Maya.
Oh, Maya.
Man, the whole band sounded great. You sounded great, too.
Thank you.
It's just incredible.
Thank you.
Now, that was composed, or are you just improvising in the studio? Just
my tapping was improvised.
Wow.
On that track, yeah.
And how do you know when you have the right take?
Because
it's so different than music.
When it sounds,
you know,
good,
I mean?
When it feels good.
Right, right.
When I hit it. And not miss a sound.
That's crazy. I love this. This is so innovative. Let me ask you this. So you performed at Sydney Opera House.
Yeah.
You performed at Walt Disney Hall. What's your favorite place that you performed in?
Venue-wise or city-wise?
Let's do both. One of each.
All right. City-wise, I will never forget Singapore.
Wow.
Surprisingly, maybe. But Singapore with Postmodern Jukebox was extremely hype. They were out of their seats, ready, and just so excited. Any move you do, you could roll a shoulder, and they were just like, falling to the floor. So that crowd blew my mind, and I was least expecting it to be Singapore. Best venue, Jazz at Lincoln Center.
Hmm,
New York.
I did a cool scene.
Duke Ellington tribute a couple summers ago, and that was gorgeous. Wow. You know, the backdrop is Columbus Circle, and that was so nice. Yeah.
Wow. And then Walt Disney Hall's not even on the list. I love it. Like, oh, yeah, these other places.
No,
right.
That was cool.
tell me what challenges you in the artistic form now as a tap dancer.
Well, what challenges me now is still this project, because all of this is new to me, and all of this is fairly new to the art form, too. Like, just discovering how to record tap, write the music, produce an album. It's hard stuff to do as an independent artist. So that's what's really difficult for me, and I'm still working through, like, how do I get this out there? How do I work on putting shows together and touring and things like this? It's not, there hasn't been a lane like this for a tap dancer before.
Right.
So I'm kind of tricking it.
You know what? That's why I started the show. It's like I wanted to showcase talent that's like unprecedented. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're definitely doing that with all the things you're doing.
Thank
Do you feel like you get more people visually with what you're doing, or do you feel like it's a performance thing? You got to be in the audience, or it's like it can catch on with just listening to it? Or do you think it's kind of like you're trying to attack all of it? Because, you know, when people see a tap dancer, they're not really hearing the rhythms that you're doing like a musician is hearing the rhythms that you're doing. You know what I'm saying?
And however, let's keep it real. As tap dancers, you have to think like a musician for your sound to sound like music.
Right.
And so this
because you're making phrases, you're like you're saying something.
But things like that have to be taught too, and so not all tap dancers get access to that type of musicality, like being around Chance Taylor.
Right.
Like, not every tap dancer got to be around such a brilliant musician like a Chance Taylor.
Yeah.
Or like a Jason Samuel Smith, who was one of my other teachers, who exposed me to
improvisation. I wish I knew Chance when he was alive. I never got the chance to meet him.
Oh, no. Wow. He was quite the cat.
No, Zane spoke so highly of him.
Yeah. And I actually have a tribute to him on the album called For Chance. And, for example, For Chance on my album is all a cappella tap. And it tells a story of a man dealing with mental illness. Right, and taking his life, and what that felt like for me, and as his student, it really hurt. And so I turned to what I turned to always is the dance and tap dancing to express myself.
Can we play that?
We can.
I want to hear this because, actually, I've already heard it. If you don't know this, but Johnny Hobbs sent it to me, and I loved it, and I want to play it just because people need to hear this.
Thank you.
All right, this is called
For Chance. It's a tribute to Chance Taylor.
Hold on just a second.
Brother of Zane Musa, who we were speaking of earlier, the great saxophonist out here.
It's this one right here on the top, right?
Yeah, you can play that.
Here it is. was awesome. Our studio audience jumped the gun on that applause. You know what is amazing? Are those Chance's feet behind it? Behind you?
When you see the man in his full body form, that is Chance, yes.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, the first time I saw you tap dance, unfortunately, was at Zane and Chance's memorial.
Right.
And what was so crazy, it's like I knew Zane tapped, but I didn't know he tapped like he did. And
when
I knew
he was
his
a
brother,
kid.
And I knew his brother tapped. Like that's, they went to the Apollo Theater. That's actually how I knew that he tap danced because I played the Apollo Theater not maybe about 8 years ago, and Zane was like, "Oh yeah, my brother and I did that when we were kids. We tap danced there." And I'm like, "What? That's so random, crazy." Yeah. And I just thought it was like a casual, kitschy thing. And then I learned that his brother's like this legendary tap dancer.
Oh, yeah.
And Zane was also a champion.
Yeah,
you know, like,
he won the tap contest when the movie Tap came out. In 1990, they did a national tap dance competition, and Zane won it. And so he got to be featured on the Phil Donahue Show, which is what that clip was.
I've watched that clip many times because it's just like it's a part of his life I never knew. So the cool thing is you performed and then Savion Glover performed. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, this is a whole side of Zane that I never knew, and it was a whole side of Chance I never got the chance to even understand and meet him and see that side of him. But it's like you celebrated and memorialized their lives in such a beautiful way. My parents were there.
Yeah.
We all still
Everybody
talk about it. It
was
just
there.
So, like, I actually watched this video because Johnny Hobbs, who was a tap dancer and who was on our show, he showed me this. He said, "You got to see this."
Yeah.
Because you're going to appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you, Johnny.
So I watched it and I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. So I'm so glad. High five. We get to play that for everybody.
I know.
That's
Thank
amazing.
You for sharing that.
No, of course.
It's very dear to my heart.
No, and I love that you did that. You know what I mean? So let me
ask
you this.
I mean, like, these people mean so much to me, you know?
Right.
And why not turn to expression through art?
Well, you know what? You honored his life, too, so beautifully by doing that. You know, it's
Thank
just,
you.
It was really poignant. I remember watching it, and I remember thinking it, even when I was watching you tap at the memorial, I was like, wow, this is just pure talent and also the best way to keep their spirit alive. You know what I mean? Both of them, you know? So I just,
thank you.
I'm so glad that you're still doing it and still just like driving the tap bus. So let me ask you this. Do you collaborate with other tap dancers or is it kind of like, is that weird to do because it's like, well, we already have a tap dancer. You know what I mean? Is it like, stay in your lane, or is it a very collaborative art form with other tap dancers?
It's always collaborative. For example, this piece for Chance is also sometimes done as a duet to kind of represent the bipolar aspect.
Right.
So it kind of works as a duo. I also have a lot of choreography for a lot of the songs on the album, in which whenever I do performances, I hire local tap dancers to come perform with me, things like that. But, you know, at tap festivals, like I mentioned too, there's always opportunities to collaborate and jam and network or just share choreography or co-teach together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever just go to jam sessions? You're like, hey, can I just jam with you? And you pull out your little board and you're just like tapping with a jazz band?
That was my life for 10 years.
That's crazy. I've never even
Every
seen
night
that.
I did that. That's how I met all these guys.
That's amazing.
I had a fake ID at 19 years old.
God, smart
and
woman.
I was out getting it. Not to party, but to network.
So let me ask you this. So you said this record took you 5 years to make.
Yeah.
Now, did you do it in different studios?
Well, from Song One being born.
Right.
So Song One being born in 2013, and the album came out in 2015. So, but the recording didn't start till 2016. I did about six tracks then. I went on tour with PMJ all year long and just had to put it on hold for a second. And then 2017, I got back on it. And then 2018, we put it out.
You know, one of the things I've always wanted to try, because I took some tap.
I'm
even embarrassed to even tell you because you're such a Jedi with this stuff. But like, you know, the movie Tap, how he makes these MIDI tap dancing shoes.
Taptronics.
Yeah, Taptronics. That's right. You know your stuff.
Wait, well, Alfred Desio invented that, and he was one of my tap teachers.
Yeah, I've always thought like there's a medium for that, and you know nobody's really kind of doing it. What do you want to play next? Because I want to play another one of your tracks.
Thank you. So one other one I want to play is The Groove, and this one's very also special too because it samples one of the other songs on the album called Revive. That is myself and Artyom Manukyan, the cellist.
Wow.
Who's amazing. He's out here. He's an Armenian cellist. Phenomenal, phenomenal. And so I wanted to try sampling something I've already done. So I gave it to Sam Barsh, who's a Grammy Award-winning producer, and also plays piano on the album. He took that track and made the taps into a beat and then added some more production to it. I'm like, this is perfect. Now, I'm using this album as an educational tool, obviously, right, with Chance, to spread the word about Chance, Respect the Dance, that message. But with the Groove, I feature excerpts from two amazing tap documentaries called About Tap and No Maps on My Taps. And these are PBS specials from the 80s. And I got in touch with the director, who's still around, and I said, George, I'm obsessed. I've got all of these documentaries memorized. I've studied them my entire life, ever since I got a hand on them. And can I use some of the voices and put them over a track? And he gave me the permission. He got the whole film company to sign off on it.
That's amazing.
And so you'll hear voices of Jimmy Slide, Gregory Hines, Sam Ann Sims, Steve Kondos, John Bubbles, and Chuck Green. And so that's what I want to play. But I also have a video coming out for it. So that's why I want to announce this. On January 28th, I'll be releasing the official music video for it.
That's in less than a week.
Less than a week is on Monday. So you can actually see their faces and see them dancing so you can see who you're listening
to. Fantastic.
Yeah,
the Groove. I can't wait to hear it. But let's play the Groove right now, if that's all right. Here's the Groove, Sarah Reich.
Dancing with some soul, like what we felt, what we heard, sound.
It's almost like it's got a hip hop vibe. That's what I love about it.
Yeah.
And I love all the voices. I mean, it's just got this kind of like creepy but awesome and beautiful and inspiring from the other side. But just, it's got a vibe. It
Thank you.
Definitely has a cool energy.
Amazing. Yeah, I appreciate that.
You are a tremendous artist. And you've definitely got, let us know, where can people find you if they want to get a hold of you to choreograph something, perform with them, or jam, whatever, teach a class. Where can people find Sarah Reich?
SarahReich.com. Sarah with an H.
Spell it out because people are dumb.
SarahReich.com. I'm also on Instagram and Twitter at SourTaps. And that's the best way to reach me.
I love it. And what's next for you, Sarah?
What's next is a tour with the album, but also with my intensive. So we didn't even talk about this.
Yeah, tell me.
I have I call it the Tap Music Project Intensive, where I work with students and I teach them how to read and write rhythm notation.
Wow.
It's all about the musicality. Learning, I have live musicians in class and I teach them how to handle themselves at a jam session. Because that's something that, again, that's not really taught in dance studio class, unless you really want to pursue working with musicians and pursue jazz artistry. And so we talk about jam sessions, how to make an arrangement, and then also how to write original music, kind of how I've been doing this. So in class, we'll create an original composition or two with the band and with the students also pitching in on ideas and where we go from here and let's do this kind of section, let's change the time signature, you know, fun little things. And then we do a showcase and we perform it all and the students get an opportunity to perform and we do all the original music.
That's amazing.
It's awesome. I mean, this is the fifth year we'll be doing it, but I also want to travel with it and do it in various cities, not just L.A., so we've done one in Florida and New York, and this year we're going to the UK next month. We're going to Manchester.
Amazing.
And then also some other ones, which I'll be announcing very soon. So follow Sour Taps or at Tap Music Project on Instagram, because we'll be announcing it. I'm just getting it all settled now.
Fantastic. Well, Sarah, you have been a wonderful guest.
Thank you.
You're going to have to come back and see us again.
I would
again.
Love to. Thank you
and
for having me.
Of course. Thank you for being a guest. This is just so tremendous. You're innovative. You're creative, you're imaginative, the world is ready. So we can't wait to hear more from you, and I cannot wait to see you perform next.
I just did the Blue Whale. It was like amazing.
See, you gotta send me send me a message.
Next time.
You gotta let me know.
I'll let you
know. You know what? Thank you for being a guest. You've been wonderful. This has been an amazing story.
Thank you so much.
And we wish nothing but the best for you. So you're going to have to come back and see us.
Indeed.
Because that's the way this works. On behalf of Eddie Pence and myself, we'll see you guys next week.